Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles, open to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I want to read something to you. This was a letter sent to me from Pastor John there in Uganda. And he asked me to read this to the church. He says, "Good afternoon, Pastor. I hope this email finds you well, together with your family. Please allow me to extend sincere gratitude on behalf of Imbali Independent Baptist Church and on my behalf for the unwavering love proved by the sacrifice you and the leadership team and the entire Church of First Baptist in Ohio made to spend money to allow church members and their family members to come just so that we could celebrate together, daring to test the life of Uganda," I like that part, "enduring with joy the odds of culture, weather, the list is endless. That was a token of real love for us, and I and the brethren cannot prove our appreciation. We cannot thank you enough, neither can we pay back. But the Lord of all will bless all the sacrifices that you made. Greetings to your family members, especially those who were not able to make it, but to the household of faith too. We're planning to hold a three-day couples fellowship in Kalakai in Tororo. Pray for us that this will yield much fruit. Please kindly read this email to the church so they may know how blessed we are because of their sacrifices. God bless you. Pastor Busolo John, pastor of Imbali Independent Baptist Church there in Imbali." And so I wanted to read that. He sent that just as a way of saying thank you, especially for the group that went there to Uganda on the missions trip, but also to the church just in faithfully standing behind the ministry there in Uganda. And so be in prayer for them and the ministry there. Also want to make mention, we do have these, there's a magazine in the back called God Bless America. And it's a nice magazine there. It has some things about Christians, even voting and witnessing, praying, things like that. And so if you would like one of those, they're on the table in the back there. We'd like to ask just one copy per family. I think we only have about 50 or 60 of them. So as soon as they're gone, that's it. But if you'd like to get one of those, you can get that on the back there. And then also, if you're not registered to vote, we do have the voter registration table in the back, and so always want to encourage Christians to be a part of that process that we are blessed with here in America, to be able to vote and have a say in who our leaders are. And so I hope you'll take that opportunity as well. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 14, down through verse number 17, as we've been looking through this series here in on the idea of continue. And so what I want us to do, we did this last week, I'd like to do this again this week. I want us to read together verses 14 through 17, right? So everybody, we're going to read it together. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen. But we're going to read this in unison together, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Let's begin. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come this morning. Thank you for the great singing. Lord, just lifting up the name of Jesus, the special music. Father, I pray that as we open your word, Lord, your word is the most important thing that we can look to this morning. And I pray that you would use it to speak to our hearts as only you can. Lord, as we study the scriptures, your word, you would help us, Lord, to understand what is right doctrine. Lord, where we need to be reproved, I pray that you would reprove us. And Lord, help us to be corrected, Lord, that we might be the people of God that you want us to be. Lord, you've provided exactly what we need to live the life that you want for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would just work in our hearts this morning. Lord, I know, Lord, maybe there were work issues. Lord, I know even some still, because of the weather and things, don't even have power at their homes. And so there's can be things going through our mind and concerns and worries. But Father, I pray you just help us to just set those things aside this morning and just help us to look to you. And Lord, just as we open your word, that you would speak to our hearts and we'd be yielded to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we've been looking here in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, these verses 14 through 17, how Paul encourages Timothy to continue in the things which he has learned. The things that he has learned, the things that he has been assured of. And again, that assurance comes from the Word of God. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so as we look to the Word of God, we understand what it is that we are to learn, what it is that we are to believe, and how we are to live our life. And he tells us this. And he says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God's desire is that you and I as Christians do good works. Amen? That's what he says. His desire is that we would do good works. But the only way we can do good works, first of all, is he says we've got to be saved, right? We can't do good works if we're not saved. And then he says if we're going to do good works, we have to know what is right in order to do what is right. We have to know how to live right the way that God wants us to live if we're going to do those good works. And that's why he says here to study the Scriptures. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And last week, we looked at how we are to continue in doctrine. We've looked at we are to continue in sanctification, in His goodness, in reaching the lost. We're to continue in His love. But one thing that sometimes we can maybe overlook a little bit when we're thinking of some things that we are to continue in is something that we're going to look at this morning. And again, it's sometimes it just amazes me how God kind of works the music to go along with the message, right? I want you to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 34. I did not know the songs that were going to be sung this morning, but as the very first song, as soon as he started singing, I was like, wow, the Lord just already is kind of leading us in this direction today, right? In Psalms chapter 34, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read down to verse number 11. Psalms chapter 34. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We don't have time to read the whole psalm, and really we don't have time to just look at the whole psalm. It's a great psalm here. But one of the things that I think he mentions here, notice in verse number 1, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. One of the things that I believe that God desires for us to continue in is to continue in praise. To continue in praise. That's why I said when he started that first song, praise Him, right? I was like, wow, this is going to be good. This is exactly what my message is on today. To continue in praise. To continue in praise. It's interesting, when you go through the Bible, you'll find that there are 216 verses with the word praise in it, in the Bible. Of those 216, 132 are in the book of Psalms. Over half of the verses that deal with the idea of praise are found here in the book of Psalms. And of course, we know many of these psalms were written by David, although he was not the only one, but many of them written by David, as this one was. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I wonder, how often do we actually give Him praise? How often do we actually give Him praise? Not do we give Him praise, but how often do we praise Him? How often do we praise Him? He is so good to us, and sometimes we give Him praise when things are going good, but do we continually give Him praise? Do we continually give him praise. The word praise means to glory. It means to laud. It means even a song of praise. So think about this. He's saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His glory, I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to laud him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to speak about him. I'm going to sing about him. He says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Notice a couple things before we really get into the message here this morning. Notice there is a personal praise. There's personal praise. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, right? That's personal. David says, I'm going to do this. This is something that every Christian ought to desire to do. We ought to desire to praise the Lord, to praise him, to lift up the name of the Lord in praise, to think about him, to sing about him, to talk about him. He says, I'm going to do this. And it's interesting, the term that David uses here when he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, that word all times isn't just referring to, just every day, right? We think of just all at all times, I'm going to do it every day, right? But it actually speaks of seasons. So in other words, what David is saying, he says, no matter what season of life I'm going through, no matter what season of life, right? Maybe young, maybe old, maybe in between. Maybe things are going good in life, maybe things aren't going good in life. Maybe I've got a good health report, maybe I haven't had such a good health report. Maybe I've had a promotion at work, or maybe things aren't going good. He says, in all seasons of life, I'll bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. He says, no matter what the season of life is, I'm going to bless the Lord. That idea of blessing the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. It doesn't matter if things are good or bad, positive and negative, joyful and painful, happy and sad. He says that all seasons of life, I will bless the Lord. His praise, his glory shall be in my mouth at all times. There's personal praise, but notice there's also public praise. Notice what he says in verse number 2. Oh, magnify the Lord. What are those next two words? With me. And let us exalt his name. What's that last word? Together. You know what that is? That's public praise. He said, David's saying, hey, I shouldn't be the only one doing this. He said, let's do this together. Amen. Let's praise the Lord together. Yes, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure no matter what season of life I am in, I want to make sure to bless the Lord. I want to make sure to lift up his name and praise his name no matter what season. But he said, hey, let's do it together. Amen. He said, let's praise the Lord together. He says, we're going to do this as a body of believers. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. This idea of public praise, by the way, that's one of the reasons why the church meets together. One of the reasons the church meets together is so that we can worship the Lord together. We're to worship him together. Yes, you say, well, I can worship him wherever I'm at. Yes, you can. And you can praise him wherever you're at too, and you should. But he said, let's do it together too. Let's do it together. I'm telling you know, I appreciate the guys up here singing, you know, but let's just be honest. Some of us just don't have a voice to sing, right? I've been noticing something here lately. I've been being asked to sing fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer times now. You know, I used to be able to sing with my kids. They kicked me out. And then there was a group, you know, they called it the Staff Men, right? Yeah, that's been a while since I've sung with the staff men too. Now it's just the men's quartet, right? So I'm getting the hint here. I really think I am, right? But some of us, we're just, we're like, I don't want to sing publicly. I'm not going to get up in front of people, right? That's why it's great to be able to come to church and sing together, right? Because you don't have a microphone by yourself, you know? You can sing and your voice is just going to blend with everybody else's voices. And we get to praise his name together, he says. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I'm telling you, there's just something about getting together with God's people and singing praises to his name. I'm telling you, it's this afternoon service is going to be great. You know what we're going to do? We're going to get together after we fellowship, and we're going to lift up his name and praise him in song. What's he saying? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. To lift up the name of Jesus, to talk about Jesus, to testify about what he's done, This is what he's saying. There's private, right? There's private praise, and we ought to praise him individually, personally, but also public praise. You say, well, I don't know if I really have anything to praise the Lord about. If you have nothing to praise the Lord about, you haven't read this psalm. Because I want you to notice what David says in this psalm. And then after we're done with this psalm, tell me if you have nothing to praise the Lord about. Notice the first thing he says. He says, I want you to think what the Lord has delivered you from. Look in verse number 4. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You see, David had experienced God's deliverance. He said, I can tell you that God is good. I can tell you that his name can be praised, and he is a good God, because I can tell you all the times that he has delivered me. He said, I can tell you the time he delivered me from a lion. I can tell you the time he delivered me from a bear. I can tell you the time he delivered me from that giant that was cursing God. He said, I can tell you about the time that he delivered me from an unstable king by the name of Saul, who was constantly trying to kill him. He said, I can tell you about the time that God has delivered me from the Philistines. And by the way, this Psalm 34 was written right after he had been delivered from the Philistines. He said, I can tell you what God has done. He has delivered me from so many things. But you see, here's the thing. He wasn't looking to his family for deliverance. He wasn't looking to the army or a king for deliverance. He didn't look to his ragtag bunch of followers for deliverance. This is what he says. I looked to the Lord. I looked to the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. Friend, can I ask you, what have you been delivered from? What have you been delivered from? Can I say, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been delivered from the punishment of hell in the lake of fire. If you know Christ as your Savior and friend, please understand, we don't take this lightly. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure where you would go if you were to die today, friend, that is the most important decision you can ever make in your life. It's the most important decision you can ever make. To know that Jesus Christ has saved you from your sins. To know that he has given you eternal life and a home in heaven. Friend, can I tell you something? That doesn't come from the church. That doesn't come from a denomination or religion. It doesn't come from some ritualistic work that you do, like trying to be good or getting baptized or giving in the offering or something like that. That's not how a person comes to know Christ as their Savior. There's only one way, and the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, there's only one way that a person can know for sure that they're saved from their sin, and that's through Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one who came to this earth, lived a sinless, perfect life so that he could be the perfect sacrifice on the cross for our sin. Friend, if there's anything that you and I can do to add to what he has done, then what we're saying is what he did is not enough. You're saying, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, but I've got to be a member of a church. Then you're saying what Jesus did is not enough for you. You're saying, well, I believe in Jesus, and I believe he died for my sins, but I've got to be baptized too. Friend, you're saying that Jesus did not do enough. Well, I believe in Jesus, but I've got to keep doing good works to stay saved. Then you're saying Jesus didn't do it. He can't save you. You have to somehow do something to save yourself. David said, no, it wasn't the king, it wasn't the army, it wasn't a ragtag bunch of followers that I had, it wasn't my family. He said, I sought the Lord. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Friend, that's the only way that we can know for sure that heaven is our home. In Psalms chapter 40, David says this in verse number 2 and 3, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Can I tell you something, friend? If you are here today and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have something to praise Him about. You have something to praise. If for nothing else, that He was willing to save you from your sin, to save you from the punishment of eternity in the lake of fire, you have something to praise Him for. By the way, I guarantee you've got a lot more than that. But there should never be a Christian that says, well, I just don't think I have anything to praise Him for. Friend, if you're saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, oh, you've got something to praise Him for. You've got something to praise Him about. You've got something to lift up your voice and sing, praise Him, praise Him. You've got something to sing about. I'm not saying you got to sing perfectly, but you got something to sing about. You've got something to talk about. You've got something to praise Him for because of what He has done for you. This is what He says. Think about what the Lord has delivered you from. And then what happens? Watch what He says. What happens when you look to the Lord? He says, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. What happens when we look to God, when we're going through difficulties and problems and things, when we look to God, you know what He does? Our defeated countenance is lightened. He says, they looked unto Him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. Our saddened faces now become bright with joy and hope because we are looking to Him and not to anything else or anyone else. We're looking to Him. I mean, think about it. David, so many times was in fear for his life. And yet he says, hey, when I thought about God, it just changed the whole countenance of everything. When I started to lift up the name of Jesus, when I started to praise Him, what happens? When we start praising Him, it takes our mind off of us. It takes our mind off of me and all the problems that I'm going through. Wait a minute, hold on. Hey, if He saved me and He knows what's going on, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, I can go to Him and I look to Him, and I'm telling you, it changes everything. That's what he says. It changes everything. Can I tell you, we would have a whole different countenance on life if we just praise Him continually. Continually. You say, how do you know that? Well, how was Paul and Silas, after they'd been beaten and put in jail, how were they able to be in stocks in jail and singing praises to God? Because it wasn't about them. It was about Him. And even in the worst of circumstances, even some of you here without power, I get that, right? Even without power, you can still praise Him. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that never have power. Never. Hey, can I tell you something? We can praise Him. We can look through the difficulties and things that we're going through, and we'd say, God, I just want to look to You. And what happens? He changes our countenance. And that's not the only place. You look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and when Jehoshaphat told Israel, he said, hey, believe in the Lord. They're getting ready to go out to battle. Jehoshaphat says, hey, we've got to trust God through this. Guys, we're gonna trust Him to deliver us from the enemies. There were several enemies, the Ammonites and the Moabites, and some others had come to do battle against Israel. And he says, guys, we're just gonna believe the Lord. And they went out to battle. You know what they went out to battle doing? Singing and praising the Lord. I tell you, that's not what we would consider the greatest battle plan. Singing and praising the Lord, that's actually singing and praising the Lord. That's what and what happened when they went out singing and praising. You know what happened? God took care of it. It says that's when the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. Why? Because even though through difficult times they understood, hey, it's not about the things that we're going through, it's about Him. And he said, believe in the Lord, even though we have an enemy out there. Hey, our God can deliver. He can deliver us. He delivered us from sin. He delivered us from the punishment of sin and death and hell. He said, hey, He can deliver you from whatever you're going through. He can deliver us from those things. David said, I sought the Lord and He heard me, delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And that's why he's able to say in verse number, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Can I tell you, when we trust in Him, it's a whole lot easier to praise Him. You know why many times we don't praise him? Because we're not trusting him. We're not trusting him. We're not thinking that he is able to deliver us. We're thinking, hey, there's something I've still got to do. I've got to work it out. I've got to take care of it. God says, would you just trust me? He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Why? Because he's the one that can deliver us. He's the one that can give us the power that we need even to go through the situation. David was able to face a lion and a bear and Goliath and an irate king and enemies. And what happened? God delivered them through all of those different circumstances. I don't know anybody's life in here. I don't know what you've been through, but I can tell you this. Not only in your salvation, if you're here this morning, you're saved, but I guarantee you there's been something else in your life that God has delivered you from that you can praise him for. You can praise him for it. You see, he said, I want you to think what the Lord has delivered you from. Notice the second thing that he says here. Think of what the Lord has provided. Look in verse number 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, this is really interesting verses here that David uses. Does God not promise to provide what we need if we follow him? If we are obedient, we say, God, I'm going to follow you. Does God not promise to provide for us? I mean, this is what he's saying. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack. And I can imagine David as a shepherd, no doubt many times at night or in the daytime, he had probably heard the roars of those lions. He probably heard the hunger roars of those lions. Many times, but they would be hungry and roaring, and there'd be a desire for food, and yet maybe because of the animals that they were tracing or whatever being too fast, or because the shepherds were there, they were not able to. He said, hey, the young lions, even these lions that have power and strength, they lack and suffer hunger. Those that bring fear to both animal and to mankind, he said, they lack. But he says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Those that seek the Lord, those that follow him. Now again, I know many times we love to go to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, right? Philippians chapter 4, 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his glory, his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But can I tell you, friend, that verse is not a verse that every Christian can claim. It's not a verse every Christian can claim. You say, but it's in the Bible. That's true. But you have to look at the context. You have to look at who he's talking to. He's talking to the church of Philippi. A church of Philippi that was very poor. In fact, not poor, but in deep poverty. A church that was being persecuted. The church that wasn't just able to openly meet publicly like this without fear of persecution. They were being persecuted. They were in poverty. And yet this church was a church that was willing to be obedient to God and follow God and even give to the ministry so that the gospel could go around the world. And Paul says to this church, hey, because you're following God, because you're being obedient to God, even through poverty, even through persecution, he said, hey, can I tell you something? Because you're choosing to follow God, my God's going to take care of you. My God's going to take care of you. You know, many times we wonder maybe sometimes why God hasn't taken care of us the way that we expected him to. Could it be maybe we're not following him the way he expected us to? Well, God, why haven't you taken care of these problems in my life? God, why haven't you done this? Maybe God's saying, hey, why haven't you followed me and been obedient to me the way I've asked you to? And this is really interesting what he says here. Notice this. He says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, how can he say that if we seek the Lord, we won't lack any good thing? How can he say that when we seek the Lord, we won't lack any good thing? Because I've known people that I believe have really sought the Lord, and they didn't have as much as I did. So how is David able to say this? How could he say that those that are truly seeking the Lord and following God shall not want any good thing? You see, because when we are truly seeking the Lord first, then we will know that all things, no matter whether we think they are good or bad, we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love him. That's what Paul says there in Romans. But again, notice he says there's a caveat to that. He says all things work together for good. We like to stop there. That's not what he says. He says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He said, well, I love God. Why isn't God taking care of me? Well, it's not just about saying I love God. It's about showing that you love God. It's about showing that we are being obedient. This is what he said. Those that fear him, those that follow him, those that are trusting him, those are the ones that God says he's going to make sure to take care of. And by the way, just because he says they will not want any good thing doesn't mean that you're going to have everything that you want. There's a difference there. There's a big difference. God's not saying he's just going to give you anything that you want. No, he says you're not going to want any good thing. You're not going to lack of anything good. Because why? What God is going to provide is going to be good. If you've been asking God for something and maybe he hasn't given it to you, maybe he's trying to tell you it's not good for you. Maybe he's trying to say, hey, that's not good for you right now. I don't want to give that to you because that's not something good for you. See, we have to go back to this idea. Do we trust him? Do we trust him? Because we think we know what's best for us. And we think that if I know what's best for me, then this is what I should have, and this is what I should drive, and this is where I should live, and this is the job that I should have, and this is what my 401k should be, and this is how everything should be. This is how it all should be, God. If I'm going to trust you, this is how it should be for me. Well, God says, that's no. It's not what it will be. It's not what it's going to be. God says, are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to trust me? We live in a very spoiled country. Now look, we've got a lot of problems in this country, I can tell you that. But it rained today. It's been raining for a couple days. Did anybody walk to church this morning? Imagine that. Nobody walked. Anybody ride a bike to church this morning? Look at that. Nobody rode a bike either. And we're going to say we can't praise him? We're going to say we can't praise him when all of us were able to come to church in a vehicle? All of us were able to get dressed this morning, come to church in a place that, hey, you don't have to worry about rain coming through the leaves. You see, the reason why many times we don't want to praise God is because we've actually been spoiled too much. We're so spoiled, we look at all that we have and then we say, well, why doesn't God give me more? How about praising him for what you do have? How about praising him for what he has provided for you? He says, what you have is good. I mean, look, friend, not just compared to other people around you, but not just compared to the world, but look at what God has done for you. He provides for you each and every day. How about giving him praise for that? How about saying like David, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We get upset. I'm a penny pincher. I like my dollar to go the farthest that it can. And every time I see gas go from $2.99 to $3.30, I'm like, come on. Seriously? I mean, you know, it jumps up 40 cents in one day and it takes a month to come down 2 pennies. You know, I mean, like, what's up with that? But, you know, can I ask, we really don't have anything to complain about. Yeah, so gas is a little bit more expensive, right? I get that. But I don't see anybody stop driving. I don't see anybody stop going to the restaurants. I don't see anybody stop doing those things. Yeah, we complain, but can I tell you something? God has still been good to us. We have way more than what we actually even need. And we won't praise him? We won't lift his name up in praise? We won't talk about how good he's been to us? We just want to complain because we don't have more. Now, this is what David said. I will bless the Lord at all times. No matter what season of life I'm going through, no matter whatever is happening in life, I'm going to bless him and I'm going to praise his name. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why? Think of what he's delivered you from. Think about what he's provided for you. All the good things that God has done for us. But can I give you one other reason here again? Think about this. Notice what he says in verse number 11. Think of those who need to hear your praise. He says, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Can I tell you, if for no other reason, praise him for your children's sake. Praise him for your children's sake. Oh, and again, praise him for your salvation. Praise him for what he's delivered you from and what he's provided for you. But can I tell you, for no other reason than to publicly praise him for your children's sake. They need to see you praising God. They need to see you blessing the Lord at all times. They need to see you talking about how good God is. They need to see you lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and talking about his goodness and his provision and his deliverance. They should hear you praising him. Why? Because they're going to hear everybody else talk about how bad God is. They're going to hear everybody else talk about, the world's going to talk about there is no God and don't believe in God and God doesn't care about you and God doesn't love you and all the negative things. Where are they going to hear about praising God from? Now, I understand David's talking about the children of Israel, but you look, it's very obvious that he's gathering those people around. He said, hey, I want to tell you how good God has been. I want to tell you something God has done in my life. I want to tell you how good he's been. Hey, our children need to know and they need to see us praising him. Not just coming to church and singing, although they need to see that too. Let me ask you a question. Again, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So when you go home and Monday, when you get back from work and it's been a rough day, do they see you praising? Do they see you blessing the Lord, or do they see you just complaining about how horrible your job is? How about saying, thank God I have a job? Do they see you praising God? I mean, yeah, you can go to the grocery store and you come back and say, boy, inflation is horrible. You know, I just can't believe how much money we spent. How about thanking God you have a grocery store to go to? How about thanking God we have a vehicle to drive so we don't have to get in the rain? I mean, there's so much that we can praise him for, but instead, what do? We just complain all the time. We just complain. It's like the only thing I can praise God for is my salvation. You know, that's it. You know, everything else is just horrible. No. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Look, your children, your grandchildren, the young people in this church and in your community, they need to see someone bless the Lord. They need to see someone lift up the name of Jesus. You know, hey, in your car, you're going to church, you're going to work or whatever, why don't you praise him? Why don't you praise him? When you're going to the grocery store, when you're at home, why don't you praise him? Man, have music on that's going to lift up the name of Jesus so you can sing together and think about the words and praise him. Read the Bible together, praise him. Talk about the things that God has done in your life. Praise him. Why do we have such a hard time doing that? I mean, honestly, think about it. Why do we have a... If I was to say, how many of you today would share a testimony, would say something about how good God has been? Can I say probably 50% of you wouldn't do it? Why? Well, I'm just not a public speaker. Let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hey, let's talk about how good God has been. Why would we be ashamed to talk about how good God is? We can talk about work publicly. We can talk about sports publicly. We can talk about the stock market publicly. We can talk about politics publicly, but we can't talk about God publicly? You see, we've got our priorities backwards as Christians. We ought to be talking about him more than anything else. Why? Because he's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he that trusteth in him. Man, there shouldn't be a day that goes by that we don't praise him. There shouldn't be a day that goes by that we don't lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, it's good to come to church on Sunday and Wednesday and sing things. And that's great. We praise God for that. But that shouldn't be only on the day we praise him. What about Monday and Tuesday? What about Thursday and Friday and Saturday? What about when we're at work? Do we praise him among our coworkers? Does the world know that we praise and lift up the name of Jesus, or do they just hear us complain all the time? This is what he's saying. Hey, You know what I want to do? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of things we need to continue in. A lot of things that the Bible says, hey, keep doing it. 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 But can I tell you one that's going to probably affect more than what you would ever even realize? Is to continue in praise. Not just in church, not just when things are going good, but at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times, in every season of life. Hey, teenagers, you got to start right now. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Make that a commitment. You know what? Doesn't matter what season of life I'm going through. Hey, school? Yeah, see some eye rolls there. Oh, man. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Job? I'd see some eye rolls there too. Yeah. No, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. At home? I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Why? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can I tell you? It's hard to praise Him and have His praise continually be in my mouth if I'm not in this. It's going to be hard to praise Him. It's going to be hard to bless His name when we're not where He wants us to be. Well, I just don't have time for it. Well, that's probably why you don't have time to praise His name either. That's probably why you're not blessing Him. Because you don't have time for Him. Can I tell you something? He made time for you. He made time for you. He still makes time for you. That's why he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I sought the Lord, he heard me. This poor man cried, the Lord heard me. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. He says, God's always, he's watching out for us. He's always watching out for us. He's always, there's nothing we can ever do that God's not aware of. He says, you've got something to praise him for. If you're a Christian here today, I hope that thought, those words would never come out of your mouth, would never even come through your mind. I just don't have anything to praise God for. Oh, no, friend. You have so much to praise Him for. So much to praise Him for. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, friend, can I tell you, that's the most important thing you need to do. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I tell you, you'll have something to praise Him for. You'll have something to praise Him for. But Christian, do we really continue in praise? Do we have this attitude of David, I will bless the Lord at all times? Here's what happens. I'd say probably 99.9999999% of the time. Here's why we don't praise him. Because we're looking at me instead of looking at him. That's why we don't praise him. That's why we don't bless him. Personally, and publicly, because it's about me. I'm not going to get up and give a testimony. I just can't do that. Why? Because there's somebody that needs to hear your testimony. There's somebody else that needs to hear how good God has been to you to say, hey, if God's been good to him, maybe God can be good to me. And if they can follow him and they can trust God, I can do that too. You see, it's still about me instead of about him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Will we continue in praise? Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, this is such an important thing. The praise is not just about singing songs, but about continually lifting up your name. Personally, in our own personal walk with you, we need to praise you and bless you. But publicly as well. Together as believers. To encourage one another, but also, Lord, to help the world see how good our God is and what he's done for us. I wonder, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking about this morning, but I wonder maybe if there's somebody here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. I'm just not sure. But I would like to know how I can be saved. I'd like to know how I could have my sins forgiven, that I could have peace with God. Is there anybody like that this morning? You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Not going to come to you, not going to call you out. Yes, God bless you. Someone else, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I'd sure like to know how to be saved. I want to be able to praise him for saving my soul. Somebody else, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. And Christian, can I ask you this morning? You say, Pastor, yes, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven if I were to die today. Wonderful. That's great. But can I ask you this? How often do you praise him? Is it just when things are going good? And even sometimes then we forget to praise him, even when things are good. We just take it for granted. We just expect God to be good, and we don't do anything. Maybe this morning we need to recommit and say, God, I need to continually praise you. I want to be like David. I want to bless the Lord at all times, in any season of life. Teenager, young adult, middle-aged, older person, I want to bless the Lord at all times. I want his praise to continually be in my mouth. As I follow him and I trust him and I just allow him to lead me, I want to just praise him and lift up his name no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm going through. I just want to bless the Lord. Father, I pray you to help us this morning as Christians to have that attitude, to bless you, to praise you, because you have been so good. Lord, I pray for the one that raised their hand this morning, does not know Christ as their Savior. I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, that you'd allow them to take, allow us to show the Word of God, through the Word of God, how they can be saved. Lord, for Christians, that we would truly desire to praise you continually, to bless your name at all times in any season of life. Lord, we know that some seasons are not going to be as good as others in our eyes. But we know we can trust you that no matter what we go through, if we love you and we trust you, you can turn it for good. So, Father, I pray you'd help us. Help us personally to praise you. Lord, help us publicly to praise you, that others may see the goodness of God in our lives. Father, bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.